Tapestries in medieval times served purposes other than the purely artistic. They commemorated important events. And tonight we encounter one such tapestry in The Tapestry Horse. This is The Weird Circle from January 28, 1945.
Out of the past, phantoms of a world gone by, speak again the immortal tale, The Tapestry Horse.
It would seem often that the feuds between the houses of the great are shrouded in mystery and antiquity. However, in at least one instance, that of the neighboring houses of Stenhoff and Luren in Hungary, the beginning of the feud itself was pictured in a great tapestry hanging in one of the upper rooms of the Luren castle. It was hung so that the observer, having looked upon the disgrace of the Stenhoff ancestor, could turn and look from that very room at the glory of the present Stenhoff castle. Once the families had been close friends and had made their homes as close to each other as possible. But greed and jealousy had at least 2 centuries ago caused a murderous hatred between them. I observe the inconceivable finale of this great feud between these two houses at first hand because of my position as personal servant and confidant to young Master Frederick Luren. In fact, strange things began to happen the very day of the death of Frederick's father. We were standing in the tapestry room.
Gertner.
Yes, Master Frederick. I'm right here, sir.
Oh. Do you hear it, Gertner? Do you hear that bell?
Yes, sir. It's
They're tolling it for his death. They don't know, do they, Gertner, that he lives on forever?
Lives on forever, sir.
Listen to me, Gertner, listen. My father died last night. But I knew it even before they started tolling the bell. I knew it when the last breath left his body. I knew it because he and I are now the same person. His life goes on in my body just as his father's life went on in his. It's been so ever since the first of the Lurens. Our spirit is undying.
It has always been a great house, sir.
Greater than the house of Stenhoff, eh, Gertner? Yes, greater than the Stenhoffs.
Much greater, Master Frederick.
Master Frederick no longer, Gertner. Baron Frederick now.
Yes, sir. Baron Frederick.
Yes, Gertner. Our house is greater. But for one.
The daughter of Baron Stenhoff.
Elsa. Ah, Gertner, I love her. No one, nothing will ever stop my marrying her. Tonight, when I meet her in the garden, I'll tell her that at last I can marry her. For now, I'm the master of Luren Castle.
Very true, Herr Baron. Very true, sir.
You see, Gertner, even the bell knows now that there is still a master of this castle. A powerful master.
Everyone knows, Baron Frederick, that the present Baron is the greatest of all the Lurens.
This tapestry, Gertner, the fight in that scene, it happened almost 200 years ago, and yet it seems that it's still going on.
The Lurens won that fight, sir.
Yes, and the Stenhoff swore vengeance from then on, even to the last of us, Gertner. Even down to me.
And such a hatred, sir, will last until one family is destroyed.
Baron Stenhoff hates me personally, though, Gertner. And he hates me with a deadly hate. Still, today is the day we must meet, he and I. For today, as happens only once a year, the Baron Luren and the Baron Stenhoff meet to discuss affairs of state. Stand by me, Gertner, while he's here. Take stock of what he says.
It wasn't long before the Baron Stenhoff was announced. I noticed during the interview that he looked very often at the tapestry and his eyes followed back each time to the face of Frederick Luren. As I followed his glance, I could see why. The face of the Luren in the tapestry was exactly the face of my master. The likeness and the look of proud superiority were the same. From the moment the Baron Stenhoff entered the room, there was an air of animosity between them.
Good day, Baron Frederick.
Since it is necessary, Baron, come in. A chair here is prepared for you.
I see, so that I may gaze directly at that accursed tapestry.
It's not a favorite of yours, sir, I know that. But it is a favorite of mine, and this, remember, is my house.
You are no more polite, young man, than your father before you.
While my father's body still lies in this house, even such a man as you, Baron Stenhoff, must feel a duty of some respect.
Never, Baron Frederick, shall I feel respect for a Lorin, dead or alive.
Beware, sir. Someday you may be taken as suddenly as he was.
Ridiculous. I'm as strong and healthy as a horse.
As that horse there in the tapestry, perhaps?
That is a tremendous beast, sir.
And like you, Baron, it was a Stenhoff.
I doubt that you could ever master a Stenhoff horse.
I dare say, sir, I could ride any horse alive.
Someday, no doubt, there will be one that will master you, Frederick.
Let us hope not, Baron. That would indeed be unfortunate for my proposed marriage to your daughter.
My daughter?
In fact, I have already asked Elsa, and she has agreed, pending your consent.
Because she knew you would never have it. Our families were born only to hate and to destroy each other.
That is still true, Baron, but for one, Elsa.
The blood must have weakened in the Lauren line, Frederick. You would try to get the mastery of my estates now by marriage rather than murder. I warn you, Frederick. The hatred reflected in that horse's eyes, there in the tapestry, against that murdering Lauren, is not dead yet.
200 years ago, a Lauren murdered a Stenhoff. And the hatred lasts in the eyes of a tapestry horse.
And in the heart of a Stenhoff. Have you noticed, Frederick, the face of the Lauren in that tapestry? It is your face, exactly.
While you were talking, Baron, I've been looking at the eyes of that horse. Tonight I see that they're really like human eyes, like your eyes, in fact. Strangely like yours.
Perhaps I, too, shall come back after death.
As a horse? No, Baron, remember the prophecy about our families. A lofty name shall have a fearful fall, when as the driver over his horse, the mortality of Lauren shall triumph over the immortality of Stenhoff. Perhaps if I were to prove that I could ride a Stenhoff horse...
Perhaps. Try it. Try it someday, Frederick.
I have never heard a stranger conversation, nor have I seen such looks of hatred upon two men's countenances. This being a tale of hatred can have no definite meanings, for hatred itself, in its very essence, is insidious. Yet I knew there was a very definite threat in the Baron Stenhoff's last words. And nevertheless, that evening, Frederick went as usual to the garden of the neighboring Stenhoff Castle to meet his lovely Elsa.
Elsa?
Frederick, my darling.
Oh, Elsa, my darling. I was afraid you wouldn't be able to come.
Is tonight different from any other night? I couldn't miss seeing you like this, even if it were only for a minute. Nothing could stop me.
I was afraid that your father would be watching you. I spoke to him today.
You spoke to him about us?
Yes. He was furious. He threatened my life.
Your life?
Oh, Elsa... Elsa, come with me now. Come tonight. We'll be married tomorrow and live safely together. Safe from your father, from all the evil things that he thinks and plans.
I want to, Frederick. I want to so much.
But you shall not, Elsa. You certainly shall not.
Father!
Well, you see now, don't you, Baron, that Elsa wishes to marry me as much as I wish to marry her.
I told you before that that was impossible.
You're an old man, Baron. Someday you'll be powerless to stop us. Then...
Even then, Baron Frederick. Even then, you will not be safe. Watch then, Baron Frederick, after I've died, for your chance to ride a Stenhoff horse.
What does he mean, Frederick? Father, what is this?
It's a part of the threat he made this afternoon.
A threat that shall be carried out, Frederick. Wait and see. And now, Elsa, come with me back to the castle.
Baron Stenhoff had made his threat again. I didn't realize how much it really affected my master until later that same night. He was sitting in the room in which hung the fatal tapestry. Outside, everything was in confusion. But there, high up in the castle, not a sound could be heard. I knocked on the door.
Come in.
Baron Frederick. Baron Frederick, sir.
Well, Gertner, what's all the excitement?
The stables. The stables of Stenhoff. Baron, look out there. Out the window, sir. They're on fire.
What? Well, is that so exciting, Gertner?
But they're about to collapse, sir. The animals, all the horses, they can't save them all.
It's a just vengeance on Stenhoff. He loved his horses best of all, Gertner. If he loses them, it's only the first sign that he's going to lose all he has.
You see, they're running wild, sir. All the horses. Look, they're escaping.
It's strange, Gertner, that I should have been here, looking at a horse while this was going on.
The tapestry horse.
Yes. I came into this room because I wanted to look at it again. It's a magnificent animal. Now you see out the window there, Gertner. None of the horses that the present Stenhoff has is as big or as strong as this one.
Baron Frederick, look there.
What?
The roofs of the stables have just collapsed. And I saw the Baron run into them just this minute.
Then that's the end of him.
Oh, I know, but look at the tapestry now, sir. Look at it.
What? What about it?
That horse. In the tapestry there. It moved.
No. The light of the fire is playing strange tricks with the figures.
But no, sir. Look. Look there now. His head has turned. He's looking at you, sir. Looking at you now, right at you.
His eyes. His eyes, Gertner. They're like human eyes. They seem to glow with hate. Gertner, look. He's moving again.
And your shadow, Baron. Your shadow. It's fallen exactly over the figure of the man on the ground.
Gertner, look out the window there, quickly.
Oh, yes, sir. It is. It is. Running from the ruins of the stable. It's a horse. Exactly like this one in the tapestry. Baron. Baron Frederick. It's coming into your own courtyard.
Quickly, Gertner, quickly. We must get out of here. Down there and catch that beast quickly, Gertner.
Baron Frederick, look!
What? Tapestry horse. It's gone from the tapestry. There's nothing there now but an empty space. Quickly, Gertner, quickly. Lock that door and lock it securely.
When we reached the firelit courtyard, the look of astonishment on the young Baron Frederick's face betrayed to me that he had noticed the same thing I had. The horse now before us was exactly the same beast we'd been watching with such fascination in the tapestry. It had the same enormous fawn-colored body, the same magnificent head, the same eyes.
Good. The eyes. Look at that animal's eyes.
Why, they're almost like human eyes, sir.
The way they look at me. They stare at me as though the beast actually hated the sight of me. They're like the eyes of...
Like the eyes of Baron Stenhoff.
Gertner.
Look at him, sir.
When he heard that name, Gertner, when he heard that name, he reared up.
Could it be possible?
He believed that his soul would live again in another form. Gertner. Look, that animal is standing still. Right here beside me. It's as though he wanted me to mount his back.
Frederick.
Here, Elsa. Here.
Frederick. Father.
I know, my darling. I know. I saw it all from the window, but I was powerless to do anything.
Hold still now. Be quiet.
Frederick, what happened?
He was running toward the barn, Elsa. He ran so wildly. It was as though he were being chased by something. He seemed frightened.
The horses. He loved his horses. He was afraid for them.
He ran right into the barn, Elsa. Right into the flaming barn. Nothing escaped the wreck, Elsa. Nothing. Except this one horse.
I've never seen it before, Frederick. It's not one of ours.
But it must have been. It ran from the wreckage of that stable. From that very stable where...
Where Father was killed. Say it, Frederick. Go ahead and say it.
Yes, Elsa. From that very barn.
Look, Frederick. Look. He's standing still beside you. As though he wants you to mount him.
Yes. Perhaps I will. Perhaps I will.
That horse, sir.
And why not?
Remember, sir, the tapestry.
Well, so much the better, Gertner, so much the better. If it really is... if it really is what we think it is, think what it will mean.
But remember, sir, remember the prophecy as the rider over his horse.
And now, Gertner, now is the chance to prove that prophecy. Here, hold.
No, Frederick, no. I have a premonition. Don't try to ride him. Don't, please, Frederick.
Oh, now, Elsa, my darling. Look, I'll mount him right around the courtyard here and be right back.
No, Frederick, please.
Oh, why not wait, sir? Wait until the horse has been rested before you try to mount him. The excitement tonight, all that has happened, he may be better in the morning.
Well, perhaps you're right, Gertner. Perhaps. Very well, Stenoff horse. We'll rest you until tomorrow. And then the Luren, for the first time, will ride a Stenoff horse.
Frederick, the way you say that, almost as though you hated the horse himself for being a Stenoff.
A Stenoff. He's a Stenoff, all right.
Why, it's almost as though he understood every word you say, sir.
Yes, Gertner, I believe he does.
What are you two talking about? What do you mean?
Elsa, these things are not for you to worry about. Tomorrow we will ride. For tonight, the fire is almost burned out now. You'd better go back to your room and get some sleep, Elsa. In the morning. Then we'll see how the prophecy turns out.
Good night, then, Frederick. Good night.
Good night, Elsa.
Shall I take the horse to our stable, sir?
Yes, Gertner, and quickly.
Very well, sir.
Be careful, Frederick. Please be careful. There's something about that horse.
Oh, last night, Elsa, when it was dark and there was only the light of the burning stables to see him by, I'll admit he did look terrifying. But today...
Today he will look just as terrible.
Well, here comes Gertner with him now. We shall see.
He looks like a beast from the Middle Ages.
Yes, they had horses like that then, didn't they?
Tremendous, fierce beasts they were. I've heard Father talk about them sometimes. He seemed fascinated by them.
Your father?
You know he was fascinated by horses. He studied them as though they were a science. Oh, look out!
He'll be all right, Elsa. Gertner has a firm hold on him.
Here he is, sir.
Good. And we're ready, hmm? Watch, then. Watch as a Luren rides a Stenoff horse. Or is it a jackass? Hold! Hold still there!
Are you still going to ride him, sir?
More so now than ever, Gertner. Here, give me a hand up.
Very well, sir.
There. Hold still. There. Now the Stenoff horse will find a rider. Away we go.
Oh, no. Bring him back, sir.
Frederick! Frederick, stop! He's carrying you off into the woods.
Pull him in, sir. Pull him in, sir.
Frederick! Gertner, what can we do? Go get another horse. Go after them.
It's no use, madame. It's no use. That horse is as swift as the wind. He's carried the Baron much too far to catch them.
There must be something we can do. We can't let them go just like that.
There may be one thing.
What is it?
Well, I'm not certain, but there must be something, some answer in that room.
What room? Gertner, tell me what you're thinking
of. In the room with the tapestry. Come, madame, with me, quickly. There may be an answer there.
Take me there. I don't understand, but perhaps you can show me.
I'll take you to the room with the tapestry. The tapestry that your father hated so much. The one...
The one with the horse in it. Gertner.
That's it.
That horse.
The very one.
That horse. He was like the one Frederick is riding now.
That is why we will go there. Oh, here we are, madame. Here's the room.
Why is it locked?
Baron Frederick ordered it so after last night.
Last night? Did something happen up here last night?
The horse seemed to come alive last night as we watched it in the light of the burning stable.
It's so dark in here. I'm frightened. Gertner, the windows are open and yet it's dark.
It's as though the room were filled with smoke.
Is there a lamp? Something to make more light? Gertner, did you hear that?
Yes, madame, I heard it. We must work quickly. Anything may happen now.
It was like the whinny of a horse. Curtain or a lamp, some kind of a light.
Yes, madame, just a moment. Here's a lamp. You wait until I light it. There's still oil in it.
Hurry, Curtain, hurry. This darkness, it's awful, like a blanket over the room.
Yes, there you are, madame, there.
At last. Now I can see a little, but it's still dark. Give me the lamp, Curtain. Let me look at the tapestry.
Over here, madame.
Curtain, it's gone. The horse is gone.
He left the tapestry last night, right before we found that horse in the courtyard.
Oh, good.
The lamp, madame. Look out, the lamp. The lamp! Why, it's fallen over.
It's burning. The whole room's afire. Oh. Look there. The flames seem to have leapt all over the walls. Run, Gertner. Run for our lives.
Wait, madame. This way. The door is over here.
Did you hear that, Gertner? Did you hear that noise? It was as though the horse was right there in the room with us.
Yes, perhaps it was, madame. Yes, indeed, I heard it.
Look. Look ahead. Yes. The fire seems to have run ahead of us. It's almost at the stairs. The whole castle seems to be on fire all at once.
Down this way. The stairs are still holding. But do be careful.
It's all right so far. Come on. We're almost at the door.
The whole castle is on fire.
Out this way, quickly.
Yes, madame.
There. There, we're safe now. We've got away. But the whole castle, it's in flames.
Yes, madame. Listen.
It's
a horse coming this way.
Oh, listen, Gertner. Listen. Do you hear? It's Frederick.
And look, madame, they're coming right toward us.
But Frederick, he's not afraid anymore. He's laughing.
And the horse seems so tame. But look there. It's doing exactly what Baron Frederick commands.
Frederick! Frederick, my darling. Are you safe?
Safe? Allure him safe on a stead of horse? Of course. Whoa.
Why, it's amazing. Look there, how the horse obeys him.
And the way he stands. So still.
Almost like a statue. And his eyes... so calm and almost friendly. Oh, here, let me help you down, sir.
All right, Gerda. There. Hey. Ah, hold it. Hold. Come back here.
Look, he's dashing right into the flames. The horse, he's going right into the burning castle.
Gerda, we've got to stop him. He'll be killed.
We were sure that everything that had been inside that inferno was completely destroyed. Next day, we returned to look over the charred ruins. In some places, there were still little curls of smoke coming from the heaps of refuse.
Surely, Frederick, surely everything is gone.
We will build it again, Elsa. It'll be a greater castle than ever.
We will build it together, Frederick. Build everything together now.
Baron Frederick, darling.
Come. Come quickly, Baron Frederick. There's something over here.
What? What is it, Gertner?
Something you must see, sir.
Gertner, you look so startled. It must be something terrible.
Oh, no, madame. It isn't anything so awful. It's... look there, sir. Right under that pile of rubble that's still smoking.
Wait. It's a piece of cloth.
Yes. It's... a tapestry.
Yes. Yes, it is.
Here, good. Here, help me. Help me to pull it out.
Yes, sir. There you are, sir.
There.
Unfold it quickly.
Look there. Look at it. Not even one scorch.
In all this blaze, it didn't burn at all.
And look there, sir. Over there in the corner.
Yes, Goodner. I see. The horse. It's back there in its place in the tapestry.
And its expression. It's as though his whole spirit had been broken. As though... Frederick. It is the same horse. The horse you rode yesterday.
Yes, Elsa. The horse I rode yesterday. At last, the mortality of Allurin has triumphed over the immortality of Astaneth. You see, Elsa, you see... Allurin has finally broken the spirit of Astaneth. And it was I, Frederick, I who finally did it.
Frederick. Frederick, come with me now. Come home with me. Can't we let these things be? These horrible things. Can't our families be the same?
Yes, my darling. Yes, Elsa, I'll come with you. I'll come. For at last. At long last, the hatred of our families is ended. Now there's only one family, and its name shall be Lúrin.
From the time-worn pages of the past, we have brought you the story, The Tapestry Horse. Bellkeeper, toll the bell!
We've been in the weird circle with a story called The Tapestry Horse that came to us from January 28, 1945. We'll step out of the circle and go to Strasbourg, where things are plenty intriguing without tapping into the supernatural, with the man called X, right after this. You're listening to Old Time Radio Drama on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Tonight, the young daughter of a U.S. intelligence officer has a pen pal in Strasbourg, and things get complicated in a hurry, and in steps the man called X, in this story starring Herbert Marshall from 1950.
Herbert Marshall as the man called X. Wherever there is mystery, intrigue, romance, in all the strange and dangerous places of the world, there you will find the man called X. It's nothing at all unusual for Ken Thurston to come hurrying into the office of the Bureau in New York City. But what is most unusual is the receptionist he finds there this morning.
Hello.
Well, hello. What happened to Miss Brooks?
She had to step out to powder her nose.
Oh, I see.
Shall I announce you? I know all about these thingamajigs.
Good. Just tell the man on the other end of that thingamajig.
Oh, I know who you are.
Really?
Sure. You're the man who's always going somewhere.
Who told you that?
Daddy. He says you're the only man in the world who could answer all my questions about places and people. Daddy never has time to answer any of them.
Oh?
He's always working in his laboratory.
Oh, wait a minute. Now I remember you.
Honest?
Of course. Your father is Dr. Simon Markov.
The eminent physicist. And I'm Marilyn. You came to Mommy's funeral that time.
Yes. Marilyn, since you're so interested in places and people, how would it be if I sent you a souvenir for my next stop?
Oh, would you? I love even just hearing from faraway places.
It's a promise, then.
We live in Schenectady. That's in New York. I'll write down the street address.
Oh, no, you don't bother. After all, I'm the man who's supposed to know all those things. Now, how about announcing me?
Oh, sure.
Yes, Miss Brooks?
Mr. Thurston to see you, Chief.
Huh? Miss...
Who's out there, anyway?
I can explain everything, Chief.
Oh, Ken. Glad you're here.
Dr. Markov, good to see you again.
Mr. Thurston, I cannot tell you how grateful I am to you and the chief.
You make it sound pretty serious.
No, it is worse than that. Worse than anything that I could ever have imagined.
A security leak, Ken.
Oh? Anything to do with the doctor's experiments on a new type of atomic reactor?
Oh, you know about that?
Guess I'm not the only one.
Mr. Thurston.
Ken, yesterday in Strasbourg, a man was shot down while resisting arrest. Turned out to be a red messenger, a courier.
Yes, and I still cannot believe he should have had on him information about my experiment. It is impossible.
Doctor, it's about time we in the West learned that the red espionage system specializes in the impossible.
But every precaution was taken. Now, what can they do but suspect me? Especially with my old-world birth and background.
This is a lot more important than just you, Dr. Markov.
Oh, believe me, Mr. Thurston, I did not come seeking your help because I...
I know, Doctor, I know. Tell Marilyn I'll be sending her that souvenir from Strasbourg.
The latest postcards from Paris, strictly high class. And Mr. X, well, what you got to say for yourself?
Pagan, the world isn't that small. Why do you have to be here in Strasbourg?
So we'll go to Switzerland. See, I already got 2 plane tickets for Lucerne.
What about Lucerne?
The plane leaves in an hour. Why, I was almost beginning to think you wouldn't make it.
Pagan, what about Lucerne?
Well, I was in Paris working on a big deal.
Yeah, of course, the postcards.
And you understand how it is with me, always with my nose under the groundstone. So when I hear about this red courier business, right away I say to myself, how much is there in it for me? Well, I'm only fooling about the money.
You certainly are.
Except for expenses, of course. And don't forget the 500 francs.
What 500 francs?
That I had to give to my bosomy friend, the Chesler, for telling me that the Red Messenger fellow came to Strasbourg from Lucerne. Hey, where are you going?
Inside. To see if you got your money's worth.
I regret, Monsieur Thurston, that we have as yet been unable to learn where the courier was coming from. That is, with any degree of certainty.
But you did learn something, Captain.
Ah, oui. One informer told us, for 1,000 francs, that the courier was on his way from Lucerne.
For 1,000 francs, sir?
Oui. But until we can find some way of confirming the tip of this Zellschmidt person, listen.
It's right outside. Let's go.
Where? Where?
Trying to crawl into the sewer. All right, come out of there, Pagan.
Let go. Let go. I'm an American citizen. You can't do this to me. I'll write to my congressman and cut off you from the Marshall Plan.
Oh, Mr. Thurston.
Zellschmidt, what is the meaning of this?
Zellschmidt, it must be a case of mistaken identity. A fellow I never saw before in my life. He goes rat-a-ta-ta-ta.
And what do you think, Monsieur Thurston?
I think, Captain, that the information about Lucerne has been kind of confirmed.
So you wouldn't believe me, Mr. Thurston. All right, so I proved it to you. At the risk of my life. Absolutely, the Red Agent came to Strasbourg from Lucerne.
Pagan, don't you usually charge for your information?
Huh?
That man right across the aisle from you, pretending to be asleep. He hasn't missed a word of your broadcast.
Yeah? Well, I'll tell him a thing or two. Say, I know that joker.
That takes care of his reputation.
Sure, I know him. Zellschmidt never forgets a face.
How about a name?
All right, I'll tell you.
Well?
Just a minute. Hey, you, wake up. Good to see you again. Good to see you. Hey, what's your name?
I have never seen you in my life. Now, why do you want to know my name, please?
I am Pagan. Pagan Zellschmidt, now you remember.
Pagan Zellschmidt? No.
Look, enough is too much. I never forget a face.
Or a name.
Or a... Look, you tell me or I'll tell the police.
And what will you tell the police?
You thought you wouldn't, eh? Thought I wouldn't, traveling incognito to fool me. I know all about you and that red messenger.
Please, I do not know what you are talking about. But all right, I will tell you my name. Now, it is Anton Bieber.
Uh-huh, Anton Bieber. Why, we used to be in the same jail together. No, that's not your name.
And why should I lie to you? My name is Anton Bieber. Now, if you want, you can have a look at my passport here.
Forged, naturally. But I'll look at it.
I live in Lucerne. I travel for a manufacturer of watches. You see, everything is written down here. Now, why should you make trouble here?
Ever been to the United States, Herr Bieber?
Yeah.
Recently?
Yeah.
Give him back his passport, Pagan.
But, Mr. Thurston...
And keep trying to remember the name you think you've forgotten.
Him, Mr. Thurston. Can't wait to get away from the airport. And him trying to tell me his name is Anton Bieber. When I knew Mr. Thurston.
Well, Pagan?
I thought of it. I mean, almost.
Oh, come on, or I'll leave it behind. And I don't mean almost.
But now it's right on the tip of my tongue.
Mr. Thurston, may I have a word with you?
Oh, I wish you would.
I'm a newspaper woman, Vanya Sabine. Your name was on the flight list from Strasbourg, and I wonder...
Pleased to meet you, Vanya. I am Pagan Zellschmidt. Anything you want to know, just ask me, eh?
I will.
Suppose we get out of this crowd. What newspaper are you with, Miss Sabine?
Oh, none in particular. I'm what you call a freelance.
Huh?
I thought there might be a story in your mission.
Oh, sure.
What makes you think I'm here on a mission? Lucerne is a good place for the health.
Not always.
May I quote you on that?
That should have been my question.
Well, maybe you've still got others.
One in particular. What about the Red Courier who was killed in Strasbourg?
Yes. What about him?
Maybe I'll have better luck interviewing you next time. If there is a next time, Mr. Thurston.
You know something, Mr. Thurston? She's got the classiest front page.
Yeah, what? What's this?
Piece of paper stuck on your coat pocket, so what?
It wasn't there when we got off the plane.
Probably that luscious lily or somebody that pushed up against you in the crowd. Oh, it might mean nothing.
Then again, it might mean we're near the other end of the connected a line. $10,000 in American dollars. Number 60, Holbeinstrasse. Midnight.
Yes, Mr. Thurston. We have now definitely established the fact the Red Courier was here in Lucerne the night before he went to Strasbourg. We are sparing no effort in pressing our investigation.
Inspector, what about the girl?
Vanya Sabine? Oh, on her we have complete dossier.
Yeah, I thought you would.
At various times she has been suspected of espionage activities.
Only suspected. What about Anton Bieber?
A puzzle, this Bieber. We have reason to believe that there is something in his past which he is hiding. But, again, we can prove nothing. Oh, your pardon. Inspector Fabry? Moment. For you, Mr. Thurston, a call from New York.
Oh, thanks. Hello?
Hello, Ken.
Yes, Chief.
Wanted you to know, Ken, that things in this end look worse. Much worse.
Oh.
Everyone who came into the slightest contact with Markov during his experiments has been given a clean bill. And from the nature of the information found on the Red Courier, the opinion here is that it could only have come from Markov himself.
That does look bad.
One thing, though, he still maintains his complete innocence.
Tell him something from me, Chief. There is such a thing as being too innocent. The place, all right, Pagan. Number 60, Holbeinstrasse.
But it's an apartment house, Mr. Thurston. How are we going to find out who we're supposed to meet?
Only one light burning on the lower floor.
But that's where the concierge lives.
Uh-huh. Coming. Wait, Pagan. Before you knock on that door, let's have a look at the names on these mailboxes.
It's so dark in here. It gives me the creepers. Look, why couldn't we come back in the morning?
This match ought to brighten your spirits.
Anyway, what good does it do to read the names of the tenants? Just names? Greta Tanzinger, Anton Bieber, Vanya Sabine. Hey!
Yes. Three tenants in the building and two of them we've met.
Mr. Thurston, something tells me I should have been told before not to come here with you.
No, stop being yourself, Pagan. And knock on the concierge's door.
Well?
Oh, here.
See? Nobody's home. He stepped out.
At midnight? See if the door... Yeah.
But maybe he wouldn't like us for two.
So that's why the concierge didn't answer.
His head. Oh, did he get bumped.
Can't have been dead very long. Oh, something clenched in his fist.
Mr. Thurston, why don't we just call the police?
Get down, Pagan.
My age to die so young.
Crawl out from under that rug and look at this.
Just a tiny scrap of paper.
Yes, a tiny scrap of paper. But it happens to be the postmark from a letter. A postmark that reads, Schenectady, New York.
We'll return to The Man Called X in Strasbourg, Austria. Now the conclusion of The Man Called X.
See, Mr. Thurston, no answer.
Yeah. Vanya Sabine seems to keep late hours.
If you ask me, the whole apartment house is as dead as that concierge downstairs.
Come on, Pagan. We'll check the other tenants.
Say, Mr. Thurston, you don't think a Goldilocks like Vanya could do a thing like that?
Like what?
Try to kill me. No, you got this whole thing tipsy-turvy. She couldn't be mixed up with that Red Courier in Strasbourg and this Markov guy in Schenectady.
Bieber doesn't seem to be in either.
Hey, how did I forget Anton Bieber? Why, the minute I saw him on the plane, I knew beyond the shadow of a shadow. And you had to let him get on with... Oh.
Why did you wake me up, please?
You sleep pretty soundly, Herr Bieber.
What? Oh, it is you. Yeah, and him.
Yeah, and me. And don't think you can pull the wool over my clothing. Just because you come to the door in a nightgown don't mean you didn't shoot at us.
Shooting? With guns?
You didn't know the concierge had been murdered?
Oh, so? Who murdered him?
Well, if we knew that, we wouldn't have any more questions.
Ah, such a quiet man, the concierge. A fly he wouldn't kill. Now, why should anyone want to hit him over the head?
Yeah. How did you know he was hit over the head?
I
better go back to bed and sleep on that one. Good night.
Good night.
Hey, Mr. Thurston, you're going to go walk off and leave him to walk off?
I'm turning him over to you, Pagon. Keep both eyes on him. Well, I'll go up to talk to the last tenant.
You know me, Mr. Thurston.
Oh, yeah. Fräulein Totziger?
You are with the police?
You heard the shooting, then?
I have been afraid even to look out of my door. But forgive me,
My name's Ken Thurston.
Oh, and you are an American?
Yeah.
Yes. You see, for most of my life, I have been a teacher in the Lucerne schools. Languages?
You lived in this apartment house long?
Almost, yes, 10 years.
The same concierge all that time?
Oh, yes. Herr Weiser has been concierge here from the very beginning. The gunfire. It was Herr Weiser.
Yeah. He's dead.
No.
Can you think of any motive?
Why, no. Yes. Lately he has acted different. Furtive, almost. But that it should have come to this.
The other tenants, Fräulein, what can you tell me about them?
Oh, we say hello in passing, but that is all. Herr Bieber moved in about 1 year ago. That girl has only been here 3 months.
You don't approve of Vanya Sabin?
In my time, a girl had different standards. But I would not dream of accusing her.
Uh-huh. Thanks, Fräulein.
Please, Mr. Thurston, may I ask a favor?
Sure.
Could you come to speak to my class? My pupils are so interested in America. I try to do everything I can to make them pals with this great nation of yours. Any time you could arrange it, even for half an hour.
Oh, it'll be a privilege.
Oh, thank you.
Mr. Thurston, he's sneaking out.
Well, follow him, Pagon, and don't lose track of him. Morning.
Well, Mr. Thurston. It isn't often that news sources force their way into my apartment.
No, I don't imagine so.
I trust you found plenty to read while you were waiting?
Oh, nothing will throw any light on how a certain red messenger came by certain information.
Or how a certain dead concierge came by a certain postmark.
Oh, you do gather news, don't you? Or do you make it?
In this instance, I happened to run into your confrère, Pagan Zellschmidt.
What else did my confrère tell you?
That he had lost track of the elusive Herr Bieber.
Uh-huh. Now, suppose we talk about you.
Oh, yes. You would like me to account for my whereabouts.
Especially around midnight.
Well, just before midnight, my phone rang. Someone who called himself Mr. X. You've heard of him, of course.
What did he have to say?
That if I came immediately to Rutley, he would give me... what is the term they use in America? A scoop?
Did this Mr. X show up?
No. I waited and waited, and finally at dawn I left.
Mm-hmm. But you can't prove a word of it.
Unfortunately.
Oh, maybe that's your Mr. X again.
You think so? Hello?
Vanya, baby, this is your tall, dark, and maybe. Do me a favor, huh? Look outside and see if Mr. Thurston...
He's right here. Hold on.
Thanks. Hello, confrère.
Listen, Mr. Thurston, huh? A fine thing to call me when I finally caught up with this alias Anton Bieber again.
Where is he, Pagan?
At the airport. Didn't I tell you all the time that this joker is...
This time, don't lose him. Give me time for a quick phone call, and I'll be right over.
But why did you persecute me? Is it a crime to buy a ticket to Berlin?
I suppose, Herr Bieber, you were rushing to Berlin to sell watches.
And what else? Listen to that subversive. Well, this time we got the goods on you, and I don't mean watches.
Mr. Thurston.
Inspector.
1,000 pardons, Mr. Thurston, but I could not help the delay.
Well, if you'll take over now, I'll be going.
Where will you be if I should have to get in touch?
The post office.
Huh? What's with the post office?
Letters, Pagan. At least one in particular.
About the post office, Mr. Thurston. A curious thing.
Yeah?
The reason for my delay. There has been a mysterious attack upon a postman.
The postman assigned to number 60 Holbeinstrasse.
How did you know?
Tell me, Inspector. You see...
Yeah.
at the point of death. When they took him to the Fieferstadter Hospital, he was unconscious.
Hey, Mr. Thurston, wait for me!
Not so fast, Mr. Thurston. I don't see what we're doing in this hospital anyway. As long as we got that alias Anton Bieber.
Here, this is the room. Oh, nurse.
Yeah? Oh, you are from the family of the dead man.
Dead? When?
4 minutes ago.
Did he say anything before he died?
Offer and offer. The same word, he says.
Oh? What word?
I think palpen. Is there such a word?
Palpen? What kind of a language is this?
You're sure that's what he said, nurse?
Yeah. To me, it sounds like palpen.
Well, thanks anyway. Come on, baby. Palpen.
Hmm?
Of course! Why didn't I think of it before?
Hmm?
Pagan, I've got it. Or have I? Yes, operator, I'm still waiting for that call to be put through. Well, I suppose you three are wondering what this is all about.
Just so there's a story in it.
Oh, I think I can promise you that, Vanya.
As for me, Mr. Thurston, I only wish that my pupils could be here with me. Oh, how excited they would be to listen in on a transatlantic telephone call.
Maybe some other time, Fräulein.
Look at that alias Anton Bieber, Mr. Thurston. He's got nothing to say for a change.
That's just as well. Okay. Go ahead with Schenectady, New York.
This, as you Americans say, had better be good.
No, Vanya. Hello, Dr. Markov. Ken Thurston.
Oh, Mr. Thurston, you have learned something?
I'm always trying to learn.
You are calling from Lucerne, Switzerland.
Yes. Happen to know anyone in Lucerne?
No.
Sure?
Positive.
Thought you'd say that.
What?
Dr. Markov.
Why do you ask?
Is your daughter awake?
She's right here at the telephone. And she heard that you...
Put her on, please. Hello, Marilyn. Talking to you from Lucerne, Switzerland.
Oh.
Tell me, Marilyn, you know anyone there? Here?
Oh, sure.
Living at number 60 Holbeinstrasse?
Uh-huh. One of my pen pals.
And did you play a little game with this pen pal, a game in which you copied down things from the papers in your daddy's study?
Why, Mr. Thurston, how did you know? That was our big secret.
You had better hang up now, Mr. X.
Huh?
Sorry, Marilyn. Got to hang up now. Your pen pal is pointing a Luger at me.
The nurse told me you were at the hospital, Mr. X. You were very clever to have realized that the postman was not saying palpen, but pen pal.
Too bad I wasn't clever enough to get you before you got him and the concierge.
That is because I am even more clever than you are. So clever, in fact, that I will live on to have other innocent pen pals... from whom I will coax other secrets, which will bring top prices in the espionage market. Try to follow me, and I shoot. Au wiedersehen.
Mr. Thurston, quick, before she gets away.
Don't bother, Pagan. I asked Inspector Fabre to have his men waiting outside. You see, they are never clever enough. These people will prey on the innocent, the unthinking, the unsuspecting. And in the end... well, you just heard what happened to the Fräulein. Hold your head, Pagan. I think we'll just about make that claim.
If you ask me, we're almost blind now. But, Mr. X, I still don't like letting that alias Anton Bieber off the hook.
Not much choice. Can't prove anything on him.
But he's a crook. The way he lied about who he is and the way he tried to run away... oh, what I wouldn't give if I could remember why I remember him.
Oh, maybe it'll come to you.
Hey, wait, I got it. I know why that lowlife wouldn't admit who he was. Yes, I know now.
Well, come on, who is he?
He's one of my cousins.
Oh, no.
Herbert Marshall as the man called X, Ken Thurston, in Strasbourg tonight, in a story from 1950. Our final venture for old-time radio drama for this Saturday night. I'm Norman Gilliland, and I hope you can join me tomorrow night from 8 to 11 by the glow of your radio for more old-time radio drama. It's on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.
At the Great Lakes Paperclip Company, I have been conducting a survey of industrialists who are trying to contribute to the economic health of our nation, and I've come here to speak to the president of the firm, Mr. Hudley Pierce. Thank you for the warm welcome you gave me, Hudley.
Well, thank you. We're always pleased to have visitors here at the plant.
I was amazed to find such a huge factory devoted to the manufacture of such a small item as paperclips.
Well, actually, we're one of the small fellows in the business. There are several companies much bigger than ours in the paperclip business, but we all have the same problems: waste, inefficiency, goofing off, so forth.
Certainly, but you've been doing your best to fight that sort of thing. I was impressed in that one building I saw. I know you have others, but in that one, there was no machinery whatsoever.
No, we don't have any machinery. You see, we buy our wire in long strips, and then our workers cut them in shorter strips, and then bend them by hand into paper clips.
You must have to get a tremendous price for your product if it's handmade like that.
No, we're actually holding the line on cost there. We sell a box of 100 for 10 cents.
Wow.
And here at the factory for 6 cents a box in gross lots.
How many boxes can you turn out in, say, a week's time?
Well, with all three shifts going, we could make 12 boxes. 200 boxes, maybe. And we can clear about $12.
Mean you can run a big operation like I've seen here and only take in $12 a week?
Well, we have a low wage structure. You see, here again, we hold the line on costs. Our average worker makes about 14 cents a week.
That is ridiculous. How could anybody possibly live on 14 cents a week?
We don't pry into the personal lives of our employees, Wally. But as I understand it, our people live in caves on the edge of town, and they forage for food.
Well, I noticed... all of your employees seem to be dressed in rags. They have little strips of cloth tied around their feet.
Well, you can't wear shoes when you make 14 cents a week. I guess that's obvious to everybody.
I guess so. That would probably account for a lot of the grumbling I heard while I was over there.
I'm sure it would, yes. Yes, it would.
Still can't understand how anybody can work on a salary like you've described.
Well, there are a few loopholes in our union contract. For instance, there's no mention of wages at all. But there is a provision that makes the worker liable for prosecution and imprisonment if he tries to quit.
I imagine the union will have that changed the first chance it gets, huh?
Well, no, we have what's called a 99-year sweetheart contract. And it has 86 years to run, so we're in pretty good shape.
Well, you've got some time to look ahead, Mr. Pearson. Thanks again for the welcome I got out here. A tip of our hat to you in your fight against all of this waste and corruption.
Thank you very much.
Hudley Pierce, the Great Lakes Paperclip Factory. Thank you.
Now, an important message from the makers of Einbinder Flypaper.